ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Hello, I'm Kevin Kelly. I'm the head football coach at Pulaski Academy in Little Rock, Arkansas. This is the...
Coach Kevin Kelly became famous running a high school football program where he had a very specific philosophy.
Now, let's talk about the whole philosophy. You're probably sitting there thinking, what in the world? You can't go for it on fourth down. I'll get fired. Or why do people punt? Well, traditionally speaking, people tend to do things in their lives that they've always seen done, or that's the way it's always been done. We stopped and asked the question, why?
He even laid it out like you just heard in a set of DVDs to teach his mantra. Now Coach Kelly has taken the concept to the college level. And our own Ryan McGee took a visit to ask some questions of his own. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, November 11th. This is ESPN Daily. Ryan McGee, I bring you on here because the profile, the story that you wrote about Kevin Kelly, the first-year coach at Presbyterian College, raises an immediate follow-up question. Why should we care about the football coach at Presbyterian College?
Because he is the guy who never punts. Like, I don't have to say his name because most people in college football don't even know his name.
Ryan McGee is an ESPN senior writer and the co-host of Marty and McGee on the SEC Network.
But if I say, hey, I'm writing a story about the guy who never punts, everyone immediately knows, oh, that's the guy, that's Kevin Kelly. That's the guy at Presbyterian College.
Well, so the idea that there is a coach whose whole identity is premised around never punting, which is like a Madden fever dream for me, by the way. I love that as your defining philosophy. Where does this story start? Because I presume you don't get the job because you say you're never going to punt. You get the job because you've developed a reputation before you get there.
Yeah, you get the job because you didn't punt. But you also won like almost 500 high school football games, or won 500 high school football games, won, nine championships. I mean, he has the tattoos. He has the Roman numerals on the inside of his arm to remind you. And the offensive records in high school football that will never be broken.
So in terms of the story of this man, a man who is brave enough to be a heretic. I mean, let's call it what it is, right? He is a heretic. He's an extremist. He's a radical, Ryan. Like, where does all of that start with him?
Well, it starts in Arkansas. And it starts in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and then Glenwood, Arkansas, and the outskirts of Little Rock. And it's a rough upbringing. He has a father, and he talks about this without even asking. He has a father who is in and out of the house, alcoholism. Him and his mother versus the world. And he talks about wanting to commit suicide as a kid. But the one thing, the one aspect of his life that got him out of bed every morning was football. And it was knowing he could go to practice. And he was a junkie. He would watch old school film, right? And he would watch every single game on television he could watch. That football was his escape from a very difficult upbringing.
I just want to make sure we get all of the superlatives, all of the descriptions here appropriately in order. He is not only the dude who never punts, he is the dude who always goes for two after touchdowns and always onside kicks as well.
But only until the lead gets so large. And then he shows great mercy and decides that he's going to kick the ball away. And unfortunately, in most of his high school career in Little Rock at Pulaski Academy, that was something that he could choose to do.
So at Pulaski Academy, Ryan, where he wins 9 state titles, is that right, in 18 years? Like, how is it that this becomes a thing that he's able to sell to them? How dangerous, how risky does it feel in high school, the stuff that he's doing?
So it's 9 state titles, all between 2003 and 2020. And he won, 216 games. He has a framed letter from the White House congratulating him on all his wins. I mean, that's who he became. And listen, you can be as goofy as you want as long as you win football games. And he won so many football games that it became an us versus the world mentality at Pulaski Academy, a program that had never been great. I think it won one state championship in 100 years or whatever before he got there. And then they won nine.
13 seconds to play. Takes a handoff, throws it out of bounds. And Coach Kelly just got the Gatorade bath as the clock expired. And Pulaski Academy, for the ninth time since 2003, are state champions.
It's impressive what they've been able to do.
And what it became was Pulaski Academy against everyone else, and everyone else thinking you're running up to score, and everyone else thinking, well, you're being mean, and everyone else thinking you're picking on high school kids, to the point that, you know, his wife's using the restroom at some far-flung high school stadium in the middle of Arkansas, and there's a gang of angry moms waiting on her to talk about, why is your husband coach football the way he coaches it? And, you know, welcome to Arkansas high school football, by the way. That's just how they roll down there.
Wait. Because you're right. There is a perspective on this that is, wait a minute, this guy is just a bleephole. Like, but there's also, Ryan, I presume, like, something of a rationale here. Because, look, the conversation around how much to go for it on fourth down to begin with is obviously a thing the NFL has been contemplating this season more than ever in particular. Is he an analytics dude? How would you describe him on that front?
He's a hardcore analytics dude is exactly how you should phrase it. And, you know, he loved math as a kid. And when he was still teaching classes at Pulaski High School, he was teaching math. He was teaching statistics. And, you know, he already was looking for an edge. You know, he takes over at a private high school that hasn't been great at football, and he's looking for some advantage. And what he started doing was going into the numbers. And you got to keep in mind now, this is the early 2000s. So, you know, everyone, believe it or not, kids, everyone didn't have nine computers in the house. And smartphones didn't exist. But he already knew the math. I mean, with a pencil, working it out. And what he did, because people always want to compare this to like Hal Mumme and Mike Leach and, you know, the air raid. But the reality is, this is taking the air raid and screwing it down to microseconds. And so he's not just looking for open space and for like the flow of the river of offense like the air raid does. He's going way inside those open spaces, and he's looking for just a tiny way to run a route different because it might buy you 0.2 seconds.
When you say 0.2, like micro, like that is not a turn of phrase. He's actually clocking it that precisely?
100%. And his players a lot of times think, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. But again, you can't argue with the results. If he says to you, just run it like I'm telling you to run it, and suddenly you find yourself open 20 yards downfield and the DB has no idea where you are, or if it just buys you a little bit of space to the sideline to catch an out route, I mean, it works. And so when the results happen, it helps. And oh, by the way, while the high school moms were angry and his opposing coaches were angry, Bill Belichick started calling on the telephone.
Wait. How is it that Bill Belichick takes notice of this guy?
Because he's Emperor Palpatine. He knows what's going on everywhere.
He felt the disturbance in the force.
He's omniscient. I mean, there's something happening out there that I need to look into. And that's no exaggeration. And so it gets on the radar of Belichick, he's not going to run this offense. Bill Belichick's not going to stop punting. But again, why is he the greatest ever? Why is Nick Saban the greatest ever? Because they're looking for any advantage available to them, particularly on the football field. And so why not have that conversation? And that conversation with Bill Belichick started when Kevin Kelly was coaching in high school. And now he hears from Belichick every single week. Why did you do this? How was the game? And, you know, he's sitting there in Clinton, South Carolina, go Blue Hose, and talking to, you know, arguably the greatest NFL coach who ever lived.
That's incredible. The idea that Bill Belichick has at the very least one laboratory of a coach that he's been monitoring, this science experiment that he's been monitoring before other people. I mean, so Bill Belichick, clearly, he's a Kevin Kelly hipster, right? He knew him before he was cool. What had the national perception become as Kevin Kelly keeps on winning and eventually wins so much that, yes, apparently he gets tattooed on his arm the number of wins he's had?
He, as he continued to win championships, Time Magazine calls. And his no-punt offense in 2009 goes into their annual, like, Innovations of the Year issue. So Kevin Kelly's no-punt offense was listed literally alongside AIDS vaccines and a scientist who believed he had discovered teleportation. Right? So in 2014, he's invited to New York, and the Tribeca Film Festival has what they call the Disruptor Awards.
Yeah, I'm looking at the introductory video to this award show thing, Ryan, and they are not kidding around here.
Disruptive innovation is about making radical change.
You almost have to make a bet on where you think the world is going.
Changes that move the needle, that are really kind of earth-shattering.
If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, I mean, I don't know what you expect, but you're going to get the same thing.
The truth is, if you change one life, it's as if you've changed the whole world. At the end of your days, the only thing that will be left behind is really your legacy.
And there he's standing with, and this is what Kelly tells me. He's standing there being handed a hammer, by the way, which is what Robert De Niro hands you if you win the Disruptor Award. And he's standing next to the guy who invented rocket fuel. And again, and a doctor who'd been out, you know, vaccinating people for Ebola. So, and so my favorite part of Kevin Kelly are these stories, because he loves to tell these stories. And when you walk into his office, the walls are covered with these framed articles. USA Today, Time Magazine, I mean, everything, ESPN.com, all these stories have been written about him over the years, and they continue to be written. And he loves to tell you how he's I'm not a big deal, though. Like, I'm just a football coach. You know, I'm not a genius. You're the one that used the word genius. You know, these people that wrote these stories, they're the ones that use the word genius. I'm not a genius. I'm just a little football coach from Arkansas. But feel free to walk around my museum to my genius.
Yeah. McGee, I think we all have a friend kind of like that, right? We all kind of have a friend who doesn't want to say explicitly that he is a genius, but everything, including the decoration of every room he inhabits, sort of would suggest that he wants you to know that, in fact, he is a genius.
Well, and it also goes toward recruiting. And when you're trying to convince a kid, all right, come with me. Weirdest offense ever. You'll never see another kicker in your life, but come on and join us. And oh, by the way, if you join us, you might be famous, because I am.
Yeah, okay, so hold on. So he wins and wins and wins, accumulates 9 titles, becomes friends with Belichick, is basically as smart as the guy who might invent teleportation one day. All of these things are true. How does the opportunity to coach a college team arrive? Had he been contemplating that this whole entire time?
I think that was always in the back of his mind. This is a guy, he went to Henderson State University. He had never coached college football. And so when the phone calls were coming in, and he was getting visits pretty regularly from some really big name college coaches that were just coming down to Little Rock to see what it was that he was doing. Hey, can we watch a little film and talk a little ball? And he was talking to college coaches at coaching conferences and at these innovation conferences and these analytics conferences. And eventually the phone call came from Presbyterian. He won't say who, but he had received other opportunities before, not as a head coach, but as a coordinator. And he wanted to be a head football coach.
All right, coming up, what Kevin Kelly got with the Presbyterian football team and what they got with their new head coach.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Ryan McGee, this specific corner of the football universe in South Carolina, this is a world that I presume you know well from childhood, right?
You're in my wheelhouse, man. This is upstate South Carolina. My dad refereed small college football in the Carolinas when I was a kid. I've been a lot of games with Presbyterian. They're terrible. They've been terrible for 100 years. You know, that school was founded in the 1880s and started playing football almost immediately. They've won one conference championship ever. And it's a non-scholarship FCS program. They play in this goofy Pioneer Football League.
I didn't even know what that is. What is the Pioneer Football League?
Well, the Pioneer Football League is it's FCS level football. It's what we used to call 1AA. So you might know North Dakota State, and you might know James Madison. This is Dayton, Drake, Marist, University of San Diego, Valparaiso, Stetson. I mean, they are scattered all across the United States, and it's non-scholarship football. So it's a super, super unique league. And you know, it's a tough way to coach because you're not just walking into a living room and saying, here's a scholarship. You're saying, okay, you're not good enough to receive a scholarship to these other places, but why don't you come with me and let's have a little fun with this goofy offense.
Good afternoon from Eden's Field at Martin Stadium on the campus of Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina for today's college football matchup between the Presbyterian College Blue Hose and the St. Andrews Knights. Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Sugard, and it is opening Saturday of college football across the country. A few games last week, but this the opening week for most teams across the country, and we're ready to get started, and it's a new era of Presbyterian College football and St. Andrews football. Both teams have brand new head coaches.
So when Kevin Kelly arrives and the no-punt offense takes the field, how does it go at the very beginning?
Well, first of all, the scoreboard operator joked that he had to go to the hospital when the game was over with because they scored so many points. This is a team that might not score 84 points, you know, in an entire season. They scored 84 points in their first game, and their quarterback set an FCS record for single game touchdown passes. And they're just kind of used to having their games on a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock and then going home. Game took almost 5 hours. at one point, like the groundskeeper went to the athletic director and said, man, I got a guy out of here. My daughter's got a soccer game. And so the learning curve was steep, but it was entertaining. And in week two, they play Fort Lauderdale after defeating St. Andrews NAI school. They play Fort Lauderdale. And they win 68-3. So they're 2-0, man. They're rolling. And Work is calling and going, hey, that story you pitched about that guy down at Presbyterian, you should probably go interview him. And I said, yeah, I'll do it next week. And I might have waited too late.
Wait a minute. Okay, so look, 84 to 43 over St. Andrews. And they blow out Fort Lauderdale, as you just said, 68-3. And they're like a National Christian College Athletic Association school, Ryan, another organization I wasn't quite aware of at the college level. But all of it just to say, Ryan, that you show up, big Mr. ESPN looking to maybe put another framed article in Kevin Kelly's throne room. You show up, and who are they playing and what happens?
They are playing the Campbell University Fighting Camels. This is the first scholarship football program that they have played. One of only a couple they're going to play the entire season. And they lost 72-0.
Wait, so they lose 72-0, Ryan. I mean, that's just not great for you, right? As a reporter who's about to write this big story about this team.
And so, you know, we're already committed. And, if you read my award-winning article at ESPN.com, I say right off the top, all right, so the plan was we're going to go down here and write this story about the genius that never punts. Then they lost 72-0. The no punt, all gas, no brakes approach, it did not serve Kevin Kelly well that day. He lost the morale of the team. He started dealing with infighting. and the internet went absolutely crazy. Hey, look at here. There's the genius. Lost 72-0. Oh, well, what a dumb move, Presbyterian. And when I went into Kevin Kelly's office 2 days after that loss, his face was in his computer. And he was dealing with a tweet from a guy on his roster that was saying, why are we even playing for this guy? And then he also was just sitting there just scrolling through his timeline.
Oh,
and I don't have to tell you, Pablo.
Oh, no.
That ain't good for anyone.
You, me,
and certainly not a football coach who just lost a game 72-0 and has an entire state full of former high school opponents who hate his guts.
Right, right. The revenge of the Arkansas moms, a dish best served cold, it turns out. So the psychology of this guy, Ryan, as you understand him, I mean, how much does he get bothered by this stuff?
I think that it serves as motivation for him. And I think that goes back to growing up with nothing and being told that you're nothing. And some of that coming from teachers and some of that coming from bullies at school and some of that coming from his own father and the depression that he dealt with. And, you know, it's the old, you know, be motivated by those who are doubting you. Not only does he seek it out, he invites it in the door. You could find his phone number very quickly. You could find his email address at Presbyterian College very quickly. You know, his DMs on Twitter are open. And what he says to me is, he says, hey, you think what you're reading on my timeline, you think that's bad. You should see what they're sending me thinking nobody's going to see it. But what he goes back to all the time is, listen, there's nothing anyone's going to say to me on Twitter that will ever be as bad as what was said to me in person in the parking lot after a football game on a Friday night in Arkansas.
And so this iconoclast, revolutionary, radical extremist by some description, like is he causing, at the very least, more interest in the football program at Presbyterian? Is there a spike? Are people showing up to games now? Were they showing up before? What's that whole picture like?
People are definitely showing up to games. And I can tell you who else is showing up to games are dudes like me. I'm sitting here reading a story that was just written about him in The Guardian. I'm reading a story that was just written about Kevin Kelly in The Washington Post. You know, we've profiled him, Sports Illustrated, Yahoo, all these profiles have been written and they continue to be written. And listen, man, again, you're in my backyard at Presbyterian College. No one's ever cared about PC football. You just didn't go. The interest was, you know, what is a blue hose? That's the only reason anybody ever talked about Presbyterian College football. You know, what's the mascot?
What is a blue hose while we're here?
All right, so their background is, I mean, if you're a William Wallace guy, Braveheart, that's their mascot. It's a dude painted up like William Wallace running around. And the blue hose has to do with the stockings that they wore when they first started playing football at Presbyterian College, Clinton College back then. And it looked like, you know, the Warriors hose that were worn by the Scots-Irish fighters. So, yeah.
Well, but on that note, Ryan, about like, you know, you can beat us in football, but you can never take our freedom. How has the rest of the season gone? Because you show up and you watch them fall to 2-1, and there's all of this conflagration as a result of that, the first loss. How do things go from there?
They haven't gone well, not per the scoreboard. And all you need to do is look at the stat line of Ren Heflin, the quarterback. He is second in the nation in touchdown passes with 28. And he's, I think, top three in the nation in passing yards, almost 3,000 yards. And he leads the nation in interceptions by 8. So that's the story of the season. It's this incredible, incredible roller coaster. When the highs are super high, with Ren Heflin setting FCS, you know, touchdown passing records in single games, and then he has a chance now to probably break the single season interceptions record at the FCS level. But they're going to give Kevin Kelly time to do what he believes he needs to do. They have nothing to lose. And if you give him a few years, oh, by the way, every national media outlet is on campus in Tiny Presbyterian. College Game Day was there. And then within 2 or 3 years, you start winning football games. you know, okay, maybe not punting works.
But okay, Ryan, I'm looking at the box score here, and I do need to note something, because the number of punts for Presbyterian at this point is not zero. I mean, the no-punt coach, he's been forced to do the very thing his whole existence, his whole reputation, had been defined in opposition to. And that, I mean, that more than anything, kind of feels like it tells you how this experiment is really going.
And it's all relative. Let's keep that in mind now. Like, he punted once in that 72-0 loss to Campbell. But that's all it took.
Well, you call the partner. He was talking to Kevin Kelly, he being Ren Heffley, the quarterback, with 18 seconds left on the play clock. So they were, time was at a premium at that point, and I think you're going to see Heffley kick it as they've dropped the safety even deeper.
That's Dante Crow back to receive. Presbyterian has never punted this season. This is a first on ESPN Plus, and it looks like his first as the ball goes about 15 yards.
And all of a sudden on Twitter, it was like Hitchcock's The Birds. Here they came. There you go, coach. Ain't gonna work, coach. You better go get a punter. And it's important to note here, Paulo, that it was not a punter who punted the football. It was the quarterback who punted the football, because I don't think there was a punter on the bus.
Which means, by the powers of logic here, that it wasn't like the best punt, I'm guessing.
And I'm guess that probably on the bus headed home that night, Kevin Kelly like went to the sports information director and tried to get that punt turned into a pass in the box score.
Yeah, that 15 yarder. Let's get that recast.
That's a good completion.
As a pass.
Hey, that's a good completion. Yeah. I need to call our stats and information department, and I'm sure they're too busy right now to answer my calls about Presbyterian College punting, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they still have punted less than any other team in the nation. And I think all of this right now with Kevin Kelly, this is just figuring out what you can and can't do. And in the meantime, you're going to lose games by 40 points, which he's doing pretty regularly. The question is, what adjustments will he make when he goes into 2022, 2023, if he's given the opportunity?
Ryan, if you figure it out, you're the guy who's basically invented teleporting.
Yeah. There's always going to be a job for the guy who invented teleporting, right?
And there should be.
Yeah, there's always going to be a job for the guy that walks into his interview and drops the hammer onto the desk that Robert De Niro handed him in New York when he was coaching high school football. There's always going to be a job for that guy.
Ryan McGee, our resident genius, thank you for joining us.
Hey, now, you use that word. I do not use that word. I need to clarify, but I may or may not clip that off now and use it as my ringtone every time you call me on the phone, Pablo Estuary.
All right, coming up, a kicker about a kicker who's going to make you want to build an all-punt offense all around him.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another punting story I want you to know. So punt may be a four-letter word with Coach Kevin Kelly at Presbyterian College, but across the country, at San Diego State, it is music to pretty much everyone's ears as one of my newest colleagues at ESPN discovered. Paolo Ughetti, you wrote this story for ESPN.com about a punter. And why did you do this?
Yeah, I've been deep in the weeds of this punting story of this legendary punter, San Diego State punter Matt Araiza, who's just really taken over the college football world by storm. You know, like you said, you wouldn't really pay attention to a punter normally, but this guy's booming 80-yard punts.
And he gets into this one. This is an absolute huge punt.
Wow. He's already broken the record for most 60-yard punts in a season. Anytime he's getting the ball, he's basically must-watch TV, which is not something you would normally say for a punter.
Yeah, I mean, what does it look like when this dude is punting? Describe that for people who haven't been lucky enough to see this with their own eyes.
It's almost like the video itself is edited. It's like doctored because you see a guy, you see him grab the ball, and he's got perfect timing, perfect consistency, and the ball just explodes off his foot.
And there's the step into the snap, and there's another laser.
And it goes out of the screen, and then by the time it comes down, it's usually behind the returner. It's basically almost like a video editing quirk.
No, I mean, it looks like a deepfake video. It looks like Matt Araiza has like a squad of editors who make these things go viral. There was one video, Paolo, that I think of against Hawaii last Saturday.
Punt it away.
It looks like another pretty good punt right there.
My goodness.
I mean, the ball gets launched like 90 yards through the air. I believe that's actually factually accurate. It's like 90 yards in the air. And you mentioned how the balls go over the heads of returners. They had done something I had not seen, which is they had two guys at different depths trying to return this thing. And he basically ICBMs this off his foot over both of them. And the announcers are basically just like left there laughing at this.
It's so funny is that I could just tell that you had no idea how far that thing was going.
I was looking for it. That was a 79-yard punt.
It does not look real. And it's almost, you know, not only opponents have had to figure out how to handle this, but his coaches himself in high school and in college both talked about how they had to adjust the way they did things just given the fact that they knew they had this weapon in his left leg. And so, you know, on another occasion where they might have gone for it or decided to do something different and maybe kick a field goal, they know that if they give Matt the ball, he will flip the field.
So Matt is on pace, Paolo, to break the record for most punting yards in a season. He's also on his way to breaking the record for most yards per punt. And we haven't even mentioned this. He isn't just the punter. He's also the place kicker for the Aztecs. He handles the kickoffs. His leg is this multi-threat weapon. So how did this weapon even get engineered? Like, what's its background?
Well, like a lot of kickers, it starts with soccer. You know, Matt began as a soccer player. He told me that his dad would take him to the nearby soccer field in San Diego and just have him kick the ball over and over again from different positions and different angles, one touch, left leg, right leg. What's funny is I asked him how far could he kick a field goal with his off leg, which is his right leg. And he said he's usually nailing 48-yard field goals with his off leg in practice.
Wait. So his off leg, the bad leg, he's also booming punts like a pretty decent kicker would with like the good leg.
Yeah, he'd be an average to below average punter and kicker with his off leg, and he's an incredible kicker with his left leg. So it's crazy the fact that he can do that, but to him it just seems so normal.
So the way that he thinks of kicking and punting, like the physics of it, how would you describe that?
It's really interesting. It was not something that I was kind of expecting to talk about. I thought he would just say, you know, yeah, like there's technique and there's strength. But he's a computer science major, so he looks at it really like formulaically. And so he's broken it down in terms of, you know, operation time, how many seconds down to the millisecond he needs to be able to get the ball off in time and get a good hit on it. He's kind of balancing both the nerdy side of his kicking and his math interests with his ultra competitive, extremely fiery athleticism that he has. You know, that's been another through line through the Matt Araiza story, which is he has always wanted to be seen as part of the team, as part of the football team. If he was going to play football, he was going to be a football player.
Here's a bomb. Coming.
retreats, grabs it at the 16. Wrestled down at the 25. Good kick coverage this time. Who made the play? Matt Ariza, the punter.
So where does this go from here? I mean, we have this punter who's doing things we've never seen before, with a background that is pretty unique, with a desire to want to prove himself. I've seen him make tackles, you know, on his own kicks.
Fields on a bounce at the 25. Cubby looks for room. Swarm under. Who's there? It's Ariza again on the punt coverage tackle.
Which is not a thing that you see done with confidence, but he pulls that off. Where does this story go, do you think?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, where he gets drafted and where he lands in the NFL. I think that's something even he talked about. As far as now, he's kind of also in this sort of surreal moment where he's not sure how he earned this, you know, social media fame. And he's kind of dumbstruck himself a little bit by it. And it's been kind of cool to see how he's embraced it, you know.
Yeah, well, I have an idea, Paolo, because you are a college football expert. That's what you do now for us at ESPN. I want to enlist you in a campaign because it feels to me, I'm looking at the landscape here, right? I know like one primarily defensive player ever, Charles Woodson, has won the Heisman, but it feels like it's open. It feels like the race is open right now. What do we need to do to make the Matt Ariza Heisman campaign? What do we need to do to make this movement happen?
Well, I think, first of all, you're right. There's not a clear quarterback that's going to win the Heisman. There's no clear offensive player. I think this is a perfect time for this. I think we need to, well, first of all, cut a highlight reel of all of his best punts to, you know, just the way that you would as if you were a high school, like, running back prospect. And just really make punts seem like they are the most important part of a football game.
Yeah, it feels like we need to get him to go on the interview circuit, hit it even harder. We need him to keep booming punts.
Matt Ariza is maybe the best punter in the country. And he gets into this one. This is an absolute huge punt. Wow.
And then we do what we do here at ESPN Daily, which is layer in super dramatic music, which I believe is underneath our voices right now on this podcast, and really sell this thing to make sure people appreciate exactly what this mythological creature looks like.
Ariza's a weapon, too. Look at that kick.
And sounds like.
Matt Ariza releases from his two. Booming punt. Wow, look at this kick.
And if we need even another route to take this campaign, I will say his dad is Mexican and born in Mexico. So we have, for me, that means a lot. I know you like to claim your the Asian American athlete. So I'm claiming him as the Latino athlete over here. I think that's another huge proponent for him.
The Pablo Paolo Alliance. It is a bond, an alliance formed and forged in I think punting, which I did not expect, but I'm here for it, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I will talk to you tomorrow.